Listening to The Baby Bunker, and I'm your host, Amelia Eagle. Today is the last of our two-part series all about dogs. Now, whether you're a dog person or a cat person, stay tuned, doggone it, because we have stories, facts, jokes, popular music, and more. I'm positive you're gonna love it. Thanks for listening.
Because you know what they say, every dog has his day. You're a misfit, afraid of yourself, so you run away and hide. You've been a misfit all your life. Why don't you join the crowd and come inside? You walk around this town like you've lost your way. Had your chance in your day. Yet you threw it all away. But you know what they say, every dog has his day.
Okay, so to set the record straight, up next we have resident dog expert Chloe Ivanoff calling in to give us the most up-to-date background on Fido.
Huskies to Chihuahuas. They're so different that many would think they're not even related. But did you know that all dogs, or Canis familiaris in Latin, are descendants from wolves? How far apart are they really? Well, according to the Smithsonian Magazine, gray wolves and dogs diverged from an extinct wolf species about 15,000 to 40,000 years ago. That would make them great, 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 great. Wait, I'm running out of breath. Great, 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 great. You get the idea. Many greats of grandchildren to wolves. How did the wild dogs become house pets? They were domesticated. Scientists can't quite agree on where they first became domesticated. Some say southern China, others say Mongolia, and some even say Europe. Perhaps they became man's best friend in all three places at once. I guess we just have to build a time machine to find out. That'll be for another episode. If you take a moment to think of all the different types of dogs you've seen, you may start to wonder why they can look so different yet be from the same species. We have long-haired, short-haired, no-haired, small ears, floppy ears, hot dog-bodied, short-legged, long-legged, multicolored, single-colored. There are dogs known for their noses like the bloodhounds, and there are dogs known for their speed like whippets. There are dogs you can fit in your purse, like the teacup poodle, and dogs that can take up three seats in your car, like the Tibetan Mastiff or a particularly large Rhodesian Ridgeback named Oscar. The list goes on and on. The variety in color, size, shape, personality, and more comes from humans selectively breeding dogs for particular traits. Over time, these traits become distinct enough in particular sets of dogs to become a new dog breed. One of the earliest fully distinct dog breeds selected for its special traits was the Saluki, also known as the Arabian Greyhound. The American Kennel Club recognizes about 195 dog breeds, but one international federation recognizes about 340. Two of the newest breeds of dogs are the Barbette, a sporty, curly-haired dog that looks like a stocky labradoodle, and the Dogo Argentino, a pack-hunting dog bred for big game like the wild boar. The Dogo Argentino has short hair, a big head, and is very muscular. No matter what the dogs in your life look like, we can be sure that they make someone happy. Maybe you own a dog, and maybe you don't. And that's okay, because you can still learn a thing or two from them. I think David Dudley, writer of What Dogs Teach Us About Aging, said it best on what dogs can teach us. Eat the best food you can afford, go for a walk, even if it's raining, take a lot of naps, keep your teeth clean and your breath fresh so that the people you lick will not flinch, and when someone you love walks in through the door, even if it happens 5 times a day, go totally insane with joy.
Mary Mac, dressed in black, silver buttons all down her back. A needle and she can't sew. Walk in the dark, yes, a walking bird dog. If you don't know how to do it, I'll show you how to walk the dog. Come on now, come on, come on. That's my mama for 15 cents. See the elephant jump the fence. He jumps a high, touch the sky. Never got back till the 4th of July. Walk in the dark, just a walk in the dark. If you don't know how to do it, I'll show you how to walk the dark. Come on now, come on, come on. Mary, Mary, quite contrary, tell me, how does your garden grow? You got silver bells and you got cockle shells. Pretty maids all in a row. Walking bird dog. Just a walking bird dog. If you don't know how to do it, show you how to walk the dog. Come on now, come on, come on.
Now we've got some background on how Oscar became so big and snuggly, but what's it really like to live a day in the life of a dog? Up next, Miss Ani sheds a little light and hair on the matter.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be a dog? This is a story for anyone who has ever wondered what it might be like. This book is called Dog Biscuit by Helen Cooper. Hungry Bridget stole a biscuit. Found the biscuits in the shed. They were made for dogs to eat, but Bridget ate the dog biscuit. It tasted salty and sweet at the same time. It tasted good. Mrs. Blair found Bridget there with telltale crumbs around her mouth. "Oh my," she said and shook her head. "You'll go bow wow and turn into a dog." "Don't tell my mom," begged Bridget. She wished she hadn't eaten that biscuit. "I won't say a word," said Mrs. Blair and winked. And Mrs. Blair's dog winked too. And Bridget thought she heard it say, "I used to be a child just like you before the happy day I ate a dog biscuit." Bridget's mom was rather late. While they waited, Bridget felt an itch behind her ears. Maybe they were growing. Mom didn't notice a thing. Bridget wasn't telling. Mrs. Blair waved goodbye, and the dog wagged its tail, and Bridget wagged her new tail in reply. On the way home, they stopped at the butcher's shop. Bridget sniffed the air, and she tried a few little woofs. The butcher smiled at Bridget's mom. "Good little pup you've got there," he said. That proved it, didn't it? Bridget wished she hadn't eaten that biscuit. Mom still didn't notice a thing, and Bridget wasn't telling. But at supper time, she gobbled her sausage, and she gnawed at her chops and spilled her milk, and her brother joined in until Dad yelled, "It's like eating with a pack of dogs." At bath time, Bridget was a wild dog, and at bedtime, even wilder. And at story time, she was so full of mischief that Dad just gave up. Yet Mom still didn't notice a thing, and Bridget wasn't telling. So she wished, as she curled at the foot of her bed, that she hadn't eaten that dog biscuit. Deep in the night, Bridget awoke. When the moon was soon to rise, she heard the sound of someone outside. She smelled their scent as a wild dog can. Into the light bounded Mrs. Blair's dog, calling, "Time for some fun." And Bridget went. She romped in the gloom with Mrs. Blair's dog. They tumbled in the shadows, in the vegetable beds. Then Mrs. Blair's dog leaped over the hedge, and Bridget went too, and was swept on the night wind into the park, into the dark, to run and bark with the rest of the wild dog pack. They promised a wolffish midnight feast to Bridget and Mrs. Blair's dog. Then the wild hunt sped up the hill, past the bandstand and the swings and the paddling pool. The moment the moon climbed into the sky, the bandstand became a great meat pie, and heavenly sausages rained from the stars. And when they had all eaten their fill, they drank from the moonlit milkshake pool. And Bridget was happy indeed that she had eaten the dog biscuit. Until she thought of her brother and her mom and her dad. A dog for a daughter might make them sad. She gazed at the great dog biscuit moon and howled so loudly, made so much din, that the moon exploded and the sky fell in. Gone were the hounds, gone was the moon. Bridget found herself back in her room with a mom who had noticed that something was wrong. So at last, Bridget told Mom about eating that biscuit. "Mrs. Blair was teasing," said Mom. "She wasn't," sniffed Bridget. "Can't you see?" "Well, not very well in the dark," smiled Mom. "But you smell like my little girl to me. Could we just curl up like puppies, just us two? And tomorrow we'll ask Mrs. Blair what to do." Bridget felt girlish again the next day, but they visited Mrs. Blair anyway. Mrs. Blair shook her head. "Of course it was a joke," she said. "I'm sorry if I worried you. Let's go in and brew some tea and find my tin of human being treats." That did the trick. And Mrs. Blair's dog had one too. And that is the end of our story. And at the end of the story, there's actually a recipe for human being treats. So you can check that out from the library.
I'm just a walking my dog, singing my song, strolling along. It's just me and my dog, catching some sun. We can't go wrong. My love is lonely and blue. Yeah, I was sad as a sailor. I was an angry one too. Then there was you appeared when I was entangled with youth and fear. And nerves jingled, jangled, vermouth and beer were getting me mangled up. But then I looked in your eyes and I was no more a failure. You looked so wacky and wise. And I said, "Lord, I'm happy 'cause I'm just a walking my dog, singing my song, strolling along with just me and my dog, catching some sun. We can't go wrong, 'cause I don't care about your hate and your doubt, and I don't care what the politicians spout. If you need a companion, why just go out by the pound and find yourself a hound and make that dog get proud, 'cause that's what it's all about. My life was tragic and sad. I was the archetypal loser. I was a pageant gone bad. Then there was you on time and wagging your tail in the cutest mime. And you was in jail. I said, woof, be mine. And you gave a wail. And then I was no longer alone. And I was no more a boozer. We'll make the happiest home. And I said, Lord, I'm happy 'cause I'm just walking my dog, singing my song, strolling along with just me and my dog, catching some sun. We can't go wrong, 'cause I don't care about your hate and your doubt, and I don't care what the politicians spout. If you need a companion, why just go out by the pound and find yourself a hound. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's what it's all about. Good dog.
I know I've tried a dog biscuit before, and I've never found them quite to my taste. But Oscar and I do both share the same love of cheese. So to follow up Miss Ani's tale, we have Miss Gracie here to teach us how to make an unbeatable treatable. Grab a pen and paper so you can follow along.
Hi kids, I'm Grace. I have here a delicious dog treat recipe. So delicious, you might just want to eat them yourself. They can be made with ingredients that you probably already have in your cupboard, and it's perfect for a fall time dog treat. Now I'm going to list the ingredients that you're going to need. You will need 2.5 cups of whole wheat flour, 2 eggs, 1/2 cup of canned pumpkin, 2 tablespoons of peanut butter, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and 1/2 teaspoon of ground cinnamon.
Hello. I'm not calling about you. Just wanna light you. Got me wishing that I never said hello. Don't wanna fight. I don't gotta ride to. This is what I get for being civilized. I apologize. I'll let you go in a minute if you want a goodbye. It's not what I wanna say. You took my salutations and throw them away. Call off your dogs. Listen when I call. I know something wrong with the limits. You got time to round, but we can spin it. Call off your dogs. It's with the world. If we're strong, we can win it. One word can't begin it. Hello.
Now let me just repeat that for you so you can write it down. 2.5 cups of whole wheat flour, 2 eggs, 1/2 cup of canned pumpkin, 2 tablespoons of peanut butter, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and 1/2 teaspoon of ground cinnamon. Once you combine these all together, they'll be delicious peanut butter and pumpkin dog treats. Now, here are the steps you have to follow. Step 1, preheat the oven to 350 degrees. Step 2, whisk together the flour, eggs, pumpkin, peanut butter, salt, and cinnamon in a bowl. So basically whisk together all the ingredients. Now, as you're mixing it together, add water as needed to help make the dough workable, but the dough should be pretty dry and stiff. After everything's mixed together and you have a dry and stiff dough, roll out the dough into a 1/2-inch thick slab. Then cut into 1/2-inch pieces. Now, put your pieces onto a cookie sheet and bake in the oven until hard, about 40 minutes. This recipe will yield about 25 dog treats, and you can cut them into any shape you want, round, square. I like to cut mine into little dog bones. These treats are sure to make any dog roll over in delight.
Dreams are nothing more than wishes. wishes, and a wish is just a dream you wish to come true. So very lucky just to have some company to share a cup of tea with me. I'd take my puppy everywhere. La 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 la, I wouldn't care. But we would stay away from crowds. Besides that, said no. Dreams are nothing more than wishes, and a wish is just a dream you wish to come true. Whoa, 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 whoa. Dreams are nothing more than wishes, and a wish is just a dream you wish to come true.
Your wish will come true, your wish will come true.
Whoa, whoa.
And now for some dog jokes. Where should a dog never go shopping? A flea market. What do you call a dog that meditates? A werewolf. What do you call a dog magician? A labracadabrador. Why do dogs run in circles? Because it's hard to run in squares. Why is a tree like a big dog? They both have a lot of bark. Why should you be careful when it's raining cats and dogs? Because you might step in a poodle. And now, some poems about dogs. This poem is called If Dogs Could Talk by Kirk Mann. If dogs could talk, I think our dog would have a lot to say. He'd probably tell my little brother, sit, and now just stay. He'd probably tell my sister, how about an ice cream cone? He'd probably tell my mother, please, go get me a big bone. He'd probably tell my father, make a left turn, up ahead. He'd probably tell me, kid, tonight, I'm sleeping in your bed. If you have a dog in your life and they could talk, what do you think they'd say? This next poem is called Hot Dog by Shel Silverstein. I have a hot dog for a pet, the only kind my folks would let me get. He does smell sort of bad, and yet he absolutely never gets the sofa wet. We have a butcher for a vet, the strangest vet you've ever met. Guess we're the weirdest family yet to have a hot dog for a pet.
Towards her,
Well, that's another wrap on today's episode of The Baby Bunker. As always, thank you so much to Miss Ani, Miss Chloe, Miss Gracie, and of course you for making this show possible. And if you missed most of today's episode, don't terrier yourself up about it. You can listen to the whole show on KMXT's website or Spotify. Thanks for tuning in, and see you next week.
Run fast!